From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report. It is the 7th day of March 2012. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley at ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. And a bit later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons Climbers Facility in Delphi, Indiana. In today's agricultural news, the head of China State Grain Association is saying his nation will not significantly increase the number of bushels of corn it imports over the next 2 years. Here in the States, the National Farmers Union, the NFU, is calling for a grain supply control program, and a new Iowa law has made it illegal for activists to go undercover into farm production facilities. Dave Dickey will be along in a moment with these and many more ag news stories, and then since it's plenty warm and the tractors are likely moving in the few fields already, I'll pull out a story on nitrogen application from the Illini Farm Report archive. I talked early last season with Bobby and Fernandez about when it might be appropriate to make spring nitrogen applications. And then we'll talk with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City, and it all happens on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Support for stock and commodity reports on Illinois Public Media comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, now hosting risk management seminars. A complete list of seminars is at sfarmmarketing.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on this Wednesday afternoon. Time to take a look at the numbers as they settled in from Chicago for the day. March contract in the wheat down 21 cents. 633, the settlement price there. The May at 639 and a quarter, down 18 and a half. In July, 650 and a half, down 17 and three quarters. September, 668 and a half, 15 and a quarter lower. In December, futures at 687 and a quarter, down 12 and a quarter cents for the day. March corn futures, 643 and three quarters, 14 and a quarter lower. The May at 638 and three quarters, down 15. 15 and a quarter. July 640 down 15. September at $5.89 and a half in the corn pit, 8.5 lower in December futures. $5.58 down 5.5 cents. March contract at $5.69 down 4.25. March soybeans at $13.21 and a half, 8.25 lower. The May at $13.26 and three quarters down 8.5 cents. And July $13.33 and a half, 8.25 lower for the afternoon. The August soybeans $13.25 and three quarters down 4.75. And November beans $12.91 and a half cents, down a penny and three quarters for the day. Bean meal at $3.60.90 down $2.20. Bean oil at $52.61. Down 31 on the afternoon. You, of course, are listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. From the Mercantile Exchange, live cattle futures for the afternoon finished the June contract at 123.47.5, down 37.5 cents. August at 126.20, down 15. The March feeder cattle at 153.90, 25 cents lower. The April up 30 at 156.42.5, and the May contract down a dime at 157.60. April lean hogs at $87.35 per 100 pounds, up 57.5 cents, but the June futures were down 37.5. at 95.55. Outside markets finished, currently trading actually, in the crude oil at $106.36 a barrel, up $1.66. Ethanol at 224.8, that's 4.3 lower. Natural gas at 230.6, down 5 cents for the day. And heating oil or diesel fuel at 322.3, up 3.5 cents. The gold futures on the afternoon, $1,683.30 an ounce. $11.90 higher in the dollar at 79.71. That's down 0.15. For the day, here's what the weather forecast looks like in Urbana-Champaign. Showers and thunderstorms are likely. That as we make our way through the evening, it'll be mainly after midnight when those arrive. It'll be cloudy, a low 50 degrees this evening. It'll be breezy with a south wind at 16 to 22 miles an hour. And then tomorrow, showers will be likely, mainly before the noon hour, mostly cloudy, a high of 51 with a west-northwest wind at 11 to 16. Chance of precipitation for tomorrow set at 60%. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy, a low of 32 with a northwest wind at 8 to 10. And then Friday, sunny skies, a high of 47 degrees with a north-northwest wind at 9 to 16. Friday night, mostly clear, a low of 31. Saturday, sunny and a high of 52. Saturday night, a chance of showers, mostly cloudy, at a low of 40 degrees. And on Sunday, should be, cloudy. Showers likely at a high of 56 degrees. More on the weather forecast closer to the bottom of the half hour. On the phone line with us for this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report is Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
Good afternoon, Todd. A special tip of the hat to you and Dave and Bob Colcomb there that pulled off a wonderful WIL outlook. And thanks for the tribute. And it was enjoyed by everybody.
Well, it was a great day. And I can't tell you how much your time on the radio stations with us over the years for 27 years has meant to us, Paul. And I know you're looking forward to retirement when we get a couple of months out. But for the day, we still have a lot of markets to talk about. And things have really moved again. There are a couple of things, I suppose, in the marketplace. Why don't you go through what you think happened in the corn market?
Well, things got beat up a little more than old Paul thought they would be. But the wheat market was probably the one that helped create the catalyst that created a lot of the selling. Number one, maybe a little wetter weather forecast. Another story floating around is that the Black Sea wheat is now from Russia starting to be offered out in the open marketplace. And, of course, people are looking at wheat as probably the most bearish in the supply-demand reports in the third place. You know, the supply is going to increase both in old and new crop, maybe more so in the new crop than the old, but there does seem to be an adequate supply of both commodities. Feed wheat is one of the problems in the corn market. Over 24,000 contracts of corn sold today, 5,000 fund liquidation in wheat, 6,000 contracts in soybeans. We broke the 40-day moving average in corn, so it was a beat-up corn, soybean, and wheat day when it was all said and done.
And then you had the head, I think, of the Chinese Grain Buying Association or Grain Using Association coming out and saying, we're not going to buy any more next year or the year after that than we have been in the past, and don't count on that, although you never know with the Chinese, I suppose.
Yeah, we know that the Chinese have been good spot buyers of spot corn here in the last couple of weeks, and with that smaller, possibly South American crop, we were given kind of a hope that we would see some improvement in basically old crop corn. The bottom line is, from our best sources, they tell us that they'll probably be in for the new crop corn, and next year we're going to have all this acreage in the ground, and as a result of that, it's 90 cents a bushel or more cheaper, and that's where the focus is at the present time. Also, the corn market got beat up with the commodity funds extremely long, and the other general feeling is that ethanol seems to be struggling as well. So we did see a major sell-off in corn. New crop didn't sell off quite as much, but it also got beat up as well.
Well, do you suppose that it's just, and that this has been a bit of a jerky year, I mean up and down, since the harvest season, and is this an unusual short crop long tail event, or I mean long, yeah, short crop long tail event, where we keep sort of bumping along and then trying to get more crop out of the marketplace, and then we go back down as we look towards a new crop that is likely to be really pretty good sized? And does that mean that there might be another up in the market sometime in the not-so-distant future?
Well, all three panels in the morning correctly talked about the 800 million carryover in corn as being basically a pipeline. It's going to be quite unusual if the government drops it substantially. The big thing here is that the corn basis is telling us that. I think yesterday I mentioned the crop was 300 million under last year's carryover. So it's all 327 million under last year's carryover. So it is a tight situation. Last year, we were experiencing some very strong basis. We've gone into an inverse carry. In other words, the nearby is basically 6 cents over the May contract. Historically, that tells us that anybody that's a hedger probably moves grain in at basis levels and starts emptying the old crop corn. It does have a tendency to tell us signals of maybe the market is starting to ration usage a little bit, and that's one of the signals that a commodity trader looks for in rather a mature market.
And ethanol, I suppose. Would you say ethanol is being rationed at the prices it's at the moment?
Well, it's a good. I think we have enough supply, and we're all in hopes that the warmer summer driving will encourage some ethanol demand. We're also keeping our fingers crossed for a higher blend. The problem is it's not very profitable right now for a person to buy corn, process it into ethanol, and make a buck. The blending margins, on the other hand, the filling station people have a big margin to blend with, but they're not backing it up to the ethanol plants to pay the price. And so the poor ethanol plants are caught in the middle, and therefore the profitability is very low.
Anything to say about the soybeans for the day?
Well, soybeans, of course, is a major factor. The thing that surprised me yesterday, there was supposedly 1 million tons of soybeans moved out of South America. The price levels were just right for the farmer to move. Basis seemed to be a little weaker. The other thing is usually when a farmer sells, it's either flat price, the yields are better, or they need the money, and I'm going to guess it was all three of those things. We do know that a report said that Rio Grande do Sul, the third largest producer state in Brazil, the yields are down. Production is going to be down about 12% from last year, but they do have a pretty big supply of beans in the third place, and the real tightness isn't going to take place until next year when we're going to have a little tighter situation in the soybean complex than right now.
Hey, Paul, you have a great day.
Have a profitable day there, Todd.
Thanks so much. Paul Cooley is with ADM Investor Services. He's in Oakland, Illinois. Joins us here on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. You can hear him again if you'd like off our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 95 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Well, Dave Dickey, your Director of Agricultural Programming, is here now with a look at today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, the head of China's State Grain Administration says that China's imports of corn are unlikely to rise sharply over the next year or two. The comments came amid market speculation that China's corn imports will continue rising sharply after the country became a net corn importer in 2010 and saw corn imports increase 11.5%. to 1.7 million tons in 2011. But there are mixed signals coming out of China. China's National Development and Reform Commission says that the country will expand imports of agricultural products that are in tight supply, signaling a potential significant expansion of corn imports in the medium term. National Farmers Union is advocating for a voluntary grain storage program that would pay farmers a fee for storing grain, raise marketing loan rates for key commodities, and keep the grain in storage until a certain trigger price is released. NFU calls the program the market-driven inventory system. NFU President Roger Johnson says an NFU leader will testify about the reserve concept at a risk management hearing next week in the Senate. Iowa's governor has signed a law that penalizes animal rights activists who try to go undercover into agricultural production facilities to expose possible animal abuse. The law, in a major farming state, has outraged a leading animal rights group. Iowa's action could set a precedent for other agricultural states as it is the largest U.S. producer of corn and soybeans, has the largest number of hogs, and the sixth largest cattle herd. The adoption of penalties in Iowa follows a series of cases where animal rights activists gain entrance to what they call factory farms. The United States yesterday began action at the World Trade Organization to open India's market for poultry, meat, and eggs, saying an Indian ban on U.S. imports intended to stop the spread of bird flu was not based on sound science. The U.S. poultry industry welcomed the move. The U.S. is the world's largest broiler meat producer and second largest exporter behind Brazil. India's broiler meat consumption has risen from 2.23 million metric tons in 2007 to a projected 2.75 million this year. Consultations are the first step in the WTO dispute settlement process. If the matter is not resolved through consultations, the U.S. may request the establishment of a WTO dispute settlement panel. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. You can find all of our radio content online in its entirety anytime you'd like at willag.org. That's willag.org. If you have a smartphone, try m.willag.org. No www in front of that one, or you can just dial this number on any phone, 217-333-3434. We call that one our mobile analyst portal, and update it at 10:15 and 3:15 each and every business day with either the opening or closing numbers and a bit of analysis. Now up next, I'll pull one from the archive. Last year, we started the season pretty early, and I talked to Fabian Fernandez about nitrogen applications and what producers may or may not want to do. Fabian says there are three points of interest. The three points are simple. First, says Fabian Fernandez, try to make a split application of the nitrogen. It's nice to go early, he says, but there are pitfalls.
The only concern that I have with applications that are done this early, I mean, it's not extremely early, but it's early enough that if we get hit with a lot of rain later, kind of like what happened last year, you can end up losing some of that nitrogen.
And that brings us to point number two. It is the reason behind why Fernandez says it's beneficial to split apply nitrogen.
Typically, when we are looking at the corn plant, the plant doesn't really need that much nitrogen early on in the growing season. Typically, we like to, I think the big saving of applying nitrogen pre-plant, early pre-plant, you know, early part of April or so, is so that we don't have to have to do the application during the growing season or when we are planting. In reality, the plant, I mean, until V6, when the plant, we normally are side dressing, it takes about 20 pounds of nitrogen, about 10% of the total nitrogen that the plant needs. It's all that it will require until about V6. And so I'm saying if you can do a split application, it may be beneficial. And the reason I say that is because of the concern that we might have wet springs.
Pop-up or starter fertilizers, two different things, both supply enough in for corn seedlings. Here's the final and third point the Illinois soil fertility specialist makes about nitrogen applications. It's about CECs, or cation exchange capacity. It's not relevant, he says, to nitrogen.
That's right. And the science as well as the practice, we have effectively apply over 200 pounds of nitrogen in sandier soils for research trials that we conduct, and we see no problem. And those sandy soils have very low CECs. You know, if you go by that rule of thumb that they're talking about of no more than 10 pounds of anhydrous ammonia or nitrogen per unit of CEC, that would be, you know, if you have a five CEC in a sandy soil, that's only 50 pounds of nitrogen that you could apply. And that's just doesn't make any sense.
So to repeat the three points, don't apply in too early, lean towards a split application if possible, and ignore the chatter about CECs. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media and the University of Illinois. Well, on this Wednesday afternoon, we always talk to the folks at the Climbers facility that belongs to the Andersons in Delphi, Indiana. Ben Stoller on the phone line with us today. Hi, Ben. How are you?
Doing well. How are you, Todd?
Oh, I'm doing very well. I bet producers were a bit perturbed by the drop in the corn market today.
Yeah, it was certainly a rough day, especially in the old crop corn today.
Did they call in a panic at all or just wondering?
Well, more so just wondering. I think some guys have been, you know, pretty aggressive getting old crop sold, and so I think they're feeling pretty good. But guys that are unprotected are obviously slightly more concerned.
Did you purchase much today, new crop or old crop, I mean?
You know, we really didn't. We've made some purchases previous in the week. Basis has been strong, but really it was pretty quiet day on the purchasing side.
You said basis has been strong. It's been strong for a long time. Did it strengthen at all today?
You know, honestly, yesterday climbers faded here, and so it seems to be a little bit toppy here. It'll be interesting to see what happens with if futures continue to weaken. I would expect basis to strengthen, but there's been so much movement that right now basis is it isn't strengthening right now.
Now, we've heard quite often in the last day and a half that the ethanol market has not been as good as it was. Is that the reason behind the fade?
That's certainly part of it, but you know, we've just seen a large amount of producer movement and some pretty big commercial movement. We're just getting good coverage, and not necessarily having to do with margins, but just the fact that we may not have to pay as much to get our coverage here.
So you've got your coverage made, what do you think, for a month and a half or 2 months? Or
yeah, I would say March, April, we're feeling pretty good. You know, maybe another story.
I bet it will be. Once we get back out to May, how hard do you think it'll be to pry corn out of farmers' fingers? They'll be in the field and probably not paying as much attention to wanting to move a crop.
Right. I certainly think basis will have to be strong in the May period, largely due to that fact that farmers will be in the field. So I certainly expect us to be purchasing some commercial bushels at that time.
Tell me about soybeans in your area.
You know, soybeans, basis hasn't been real strong. Processors, I would say, are generally around the option price in May. But they just, soybeans continue to be strong. I mean, old crop, we're down 8 today. Yesterday, we're up 10. So we're still stronger, or about even here on the week. And new crop beans just continue to be strong. So I think we've definitely seen some farmers selling, but I think a number of guys are fairly bullish, and we're looking to Friday. Maybe we're going to get to that, but Friday we have the USDA supply and demand report, and certainly going to be waiting for that expectantly, interested to see how the South American production numbers come out.
And your bids for the day?
Cash corn into Delphi, 652. Corn Climbers Ethanol Plant, 661. IBET corn, 654, and beans into Delphi, 1312.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Todd.
That is Ben Stoller of the Andersons, back in just 2 minutes.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Auditory Care Center, an independent hearing care center serving Champaign, Piatt, Ford, Vermilion, and other East Central Illinois counties. Auditory Care Center offers hearing evaluations as well as selection, fitting, and repair of hearing aids at 892-5959 in Rantoul.
It's National Crown Roast of Pork Day. Cultivation of pigs dates back to at least 5,000 BC. It is believed pigs were domesticated from the wild boar in either China or the Near East. In 1493, Christopher Columbus loaded hogs into his ship, crossed the Atlantic, and introduced them to the Americas. Until the 20th century, pork in the U.S. was traditionally an autumn dish, coming to the dinner table after fattening during the summer. By the way, pork is the most widely eaten meat in the world. On this day in agricultural history in 1804, John Wedgwood founded the Royal Horticultural Society. The Society's first garden was in Kensington in 1818. In 1849, Luther Burbank was born. He developed many new varieties of fruits and vegetables, including the Burbank potato, the Shasta daisy, over 100 varieties of plums and prunes, and 10 varieties of berries. By the way, the Burbank potato is the most widely cultivated potato in the U.S. McDonald's French fries are made exclusively from the Burbank. In all, Burbank developed over 800 strains and varieties of plants over a 55-year career, including a spineless cactus used for cattle feed. And in 1914, the Coca-Cola Bottlers Association was formed. Coca-Cola was born in Atlanta, Georgia in 1886. The first newspaper ad soon followed in the Atlanta Journal, inviting people to try the new and popular soda fountain drink. By the way, sales during the first year averaged 9 drinks a day. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Wednesday afternoon. Drew Lerner with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City now joins us to take up the forecast for the Midwest, the nation, and the planet. Where do you want to start today, Drew?
Well, let's start in Europe. That's a little different. We have a lot of dryness going on in parts of Spain. That's been going, you know, actually it's been happening since back into October and November when the rainy season is supposed to have started. It's been a very dry winter for all of Spain and Portugal, but it's not just limited to there. We're seeing an expansion of this dryness now into parts of France. Also, some areas in Italy are running a little dry. And down in Morocco, all of these small grain production areas are running low on moisture and need to see a significant increase in precipitation. It's just one more area in the world that has been impacted by dryness, and in particular in small grain countries. So we're going to be kind of watching this area rather closely. The next 2 weeks do not generate much in the way of significant precipitation in this region, and I think it may last longer than that. So we'll need to continue to monitor that.
Can you hopscotch some of the places around the planet where the small grains, wheat in particular, has been in trouble? And that would be, primarily the Northern Hemisphere now, but there are probably some Southern Hemisphere places like South America that have had some problems too.
Yes, and in the Northern Hemisphere, we have to go back to last fall because that's when, of course, a lot of these crops were put into the ground. Well, it was a very dry planting season for much of southeastern Europe. This includes places like Romania and Bulgaria, Serbia, and even Turkey was quite dry at that time, along with the Ukraine and southern parts of Russia. That entire region over there was really hurting bad for moisture when the planting season was underway, and the crops were not well established. And, of course, then we ran into the bitter cold conditions that occurred in late January and the first half of February in eastern parts of Europe and western sections of the old Soviet Union, including Ukraine and parts of Russia. And then we obviously then ran into some potential problems with winter kill occurring because there was not much snow on the ground at that time. Well, while we were in the midst of all that bitter cold, the snow finally came, and there's plenty of snow on the ground today. But it's questionable whether or not those crops will be able to respond fully to it because there's a lot of frost in the ground now. It's going to make it difficult for the snow melt to reach all the way down into the soil. So that is a huge area that has not done well this year. And then you add the problems developing in Spain and neighboring areas there, and becomes a bigger issue. And of course, Canada and the northern U.S. plains, small grain country, have also done poorly with precipitation since last autumn. Some areas in Canada's prairies have seen less than 40% of normal precipitation since September, and we can say a lot about the same thing for Montana and parts of North Dakota. Obviously, a week or so ago, we picked up on significant moisture in Minnesota, parts of Iowa, and South Dakota, and that helped to ease their dryness. But all of those areas were very dry last autumn as well. You mentioned the southern hemisphere. I think right now we're poised to do well in parts of Australia and when their planting season begins in April. And South Africa is running a little dry. And, of course, Argentina is in a major recovery mode from drought that occurred earlier in the year. So southern hemisphere crop areas at the moment don't look like they have much of a problem to deal with, at least not from now.
And the bulk of the wheat, of course, grown in the northern hemisphere, something we'll have to keep our eye on as we make our way through the growing season. And it all begins to come out of dormancy. Thank you so very much for taking the time with us today, Drew.
You bet, Todd. Have a good day and good week.
You too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. And that wraps up this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. You have a great afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.